The scripture reading this morning is a little long, so if you would like to follow along, I invite you to do so in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. That's 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave, and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenants, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall appoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now this story that we read is about really every person's story when you think about where we are right now. First off, I would ask, and you don't have to answer, just think, have you ever really felt alone? Have you really ever felt alone, like no matter what you do, you're not making a difference? You try harder and harder and harder, and you just don't feel like you're making a difference. People don't recognize what you're trying to do. They don't recognize the good that you're doing. They're so focused on negative that they're not seeing the good that you're actually trying to do. And they're not seeing the benefit of what's coming out of your mouth. And I think sometimes we probably just struggle because we feel like no one is listening to us. That people just, they don't seem to get it. They don't seem to understand. They don't seem to see that what we're trying to share is going to help them. especially in our role as Christians, as ministers of the Lord's Word, that people just don't seem to understand. And I think at other times we just feel helpless. We're to that point that circumstances or the world or something has got so bad that no matter what we do, we're just not going to be able to make a difference. That we feel helpless. Well, those are the feelings that we see described of the prophet Elijah. You see, the prophet Elijah, I mean, in this day, there was an interesting relationship between the monarchical leadership of kings and the prophets. And the prophets were that tie that tried to provide divine instruction, divine intervention, divine direction to the leadership of the royalty so that they would make the right decisions. So that's what Elijah is trying to do. You see, we've come to a really bad time because Ahab, king of Israel, and Jezebel, a Tyranian princess, have come together in marriage. Now, this is a cross-racial marriage, and that's not something that was forbidden at the time. But what was happening is the word, the warning that God had provided since day one is be careful, and that he didn't really support those, because what generally happened with that were interfaith marriages, that you were married across lines of faith, so that you may have a Christian marrying someone who didn't believe in God. And essentially, Ahab, as king of Israel, was weak in his faith, and he married Jezebel, who was a Tyranian princess, who believed in Baalism, the worship of Baal, the storm god, fertility god. And so whenever they came together in marriage, she had greater influence in the marriage. Her husband, the king, was going to listen to her no matter what. And she caused him to change. And she caused him to change by pulling him away from his faith because of his weak faith, and pulling him over to her side, and he tolerated what she was doing. Immediately after they came together in marriage, she started erecting idols to worship Baal, the storm god, god of fertility, god of land, and started erecting Asherah poles for the worship of Asherah, because this was what she believed. And she had this thing about Christians, about prophets of God, so she started engaging in having them killed. And even to the point we see here, Ahab told Jezebel that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Ahab is engaged in it as well, of eliminating those that are supporting God and that are speaking the truth of God. Rather than dealing with them, they are eliminating the prophets. Well, Elijah was a great prophet. A great prophet of God, divinely appointed. Elijah was considered to be a Moses-like prophet. Had great expectations, and in several places we see that description of a Moses-like prophet. And there are so many similarities between the two. We see how Elijah and Moses were both divinely called by God specifically to lead people past a certain point. They both led people across rivers or seas. They both received divine instruction on the same mountain. Moses went up on Mount Sinai, which is also known as Mount Horeb, and received the Ten Commandments twice. And then Elijah goes up on that same mountain in the same exact cave that Moses was in when he encountered God the second time, and has this divine encounter with God and receives three tasks that he's supposed to carry out for the benefit of expanding God's kingdom. And then we see how both of them were called to appoint their successors. We see how both of them, Moses and Elijah both, traveled for 40 days and nights in the wilderness in a difficult time in their life on their way to receiving divine instruction. So you see, Elijah is held up to be one of these prominent prophets. And if you remember the transfiguration of the Lord over in the Gospels, whenever there are people that appear It is said to be Moses and Elijah. So they're tied very closely together with their prominence as prophets. So I say all of that to say this, is that Elijah held himself to the highest standards. There was great expectation of what he was to do, great expectation about the good he was to do for his people. And so he held himself to a higher standard. So when this starts with Ahab and Jezebel, he condemns Ahab and Jezebel. He doesn't support, the other prophets didn't either, and systematically they are killed. But the other prophets condemned Baalism, as did Elijah. And Elijah has been witnessing this, and the Lord sends him to condemn Ahab and Jezebel, knowing that he's doing so at the risk of his own life. And he is persistent. He remains steadfast. He does his best to convince them this is not the right way. And that's where this picks up right here. Ahab told Jezebel what Elijah had done. So Elijah is threatened by Jezebel. And no matter what words come out of his mouth, he cannot influence a change. And he's finally reached that point that no matter how strong he is serving the Lord, he can't handle it anymore, and he flees. He flees into the wilderness, and we know he travels. Well, after a day's journey, he comes to this broom tree and sits under this broom tree, has this encounter with the angels who tells him to eat, several times to eat, because he has a journey ahead of him. And then after he eats a couple times, he journeys for 40 days and nights in the wilderness. But he's reached that lowest point. Back to the opening statements. He's reached that lowest point to where he feels like no one is listening. The only thing that he has left is God. The only person that is listening is God. And he feels like he is a failure to God. Because, again, Moses, Elijah, held to the highest standards. He was called to do something, but he could not stop it. He tried to turn Ahab and Jezebel away from the worship of Baal, Asherah, and the other gods. He tried to focus on that worship of Yahweh, the God, our God, the great God, creator God, and that's where he was called to serve. And that's what he was trying to do, but he was unable to make that happen. So he feels worthless. He wants to die. He feels like he's a failure. He feels like he is alone, and all this mess, this storm, this turmoil that is going on around him, he is just one person, and he's not been able to make a difference. So he ends up on the same mountain that Moses did. And he ends up in this same cave where God had the encounter with Moses. And he hears this voice, as we hear in the scripture this morning. And then he's instructed to go outside. And at the mouth of this cave, there's a great storm that is taking place. A great storm with loud winds, with rushing winds, with an earthquake, with fire. And he's expecting to encounter God and all of those things. These things that represent the storms of life and the turmoil of life. He's expecting to encounter God there. And to hear God's booming voice. I mean, Moses, and this is the difference between the two. Moses had the booming voice of God from the heavens and through the burning bush. And the encounter in the cave. And there was no doubt when God spoke that Moses was on sacred ground. But here, Elijah is listening, and he's not yet heard. But then in the silence of it all, comes this still, small voice. The Word of God offering him hope, offering him instruction, offering him direction, and telling him what to do next. So in the midst of all of these storms going on, it is in the silence that he hears a whisper from the Lord. And he says, to go back the way that you came. to go back to what you just fled from. Go back to that persecution. Go back to those threats of your death. Go back to all the calamity that you just left. And I want you to do three things. There are two kings that I want you to appoint. I want you to appoint these two as king. So again, you're going directly against the people who are threatening to kill you, because you're going to replace them. And you're going to appoint another king. And I want you to appoint your successor. Well, Elijah is a pretty wise man. And he knows what happens with Moses. Moses did not get to lead the people into the promised land. Moses was stopped short of that. And we know that Moses' successor is the one that led the Israelites into the promised land. So Elijah goes back down off this mountain to appoint two kings and to appoint a successor. So he comes back down. He appoints Elisha as his successor. And that is all that he gets to do. And then Elisha carries out the rest of God's task and appoints the two kings. So I said in the beginning, this is a message for all of us. It's a message for us as Christians today. Because I think when we look into the world around us now, I think there are Ahabs and Jezebels that are trying to rule our world in a way that is not consistent with the will of God. I think that every day we're seeing things in this world that are focusing our attention away from God rather than driving our attention back to God. I think that we have these idols that have been erected in many shapes, whether it be some hobby, some new fad, whether it be money, power, or wealth. All of these represent those idols that have turned our attention away from God. And I think that in our leadership of the world in our country, I think that there are things that we're seeing where there's been such a great shift away from the focus that God intends. And you can name them, and I could sit here all day. I mean, you think about the controversies that we have dealt with just over the last year. We think about issues with how there's been a polarity with House Bill 2. We think about the polarity that's occurred over issues with the national anthem and how people respond to it. We think about the polarity of the politics as we look at the presidential election. We look at continued issues of racial polarity. So we see all of these things, and I think at times we're focusing on the things that are not so important. If we would focus on God's will, if we would focus on God's direction, if we would focus on the divine rather than the worldly, then we would be much better off. So I think each of these things serve as that King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And Jezebel was ruthless and notorious and powerful, and she influenced her husband and caused him to change. And there are things like that in this world around us today, brothers and sisters, that are causing us to change. And they're causing us to lose focus. And they're causing preachers. And they're causing Christians. And they're causing bodies of Christ, just like us, to come to our quiet, safe, secure place and lick our wounds, not knowing what to do next because we have been persecuted so much. And people are not listening. We have the message. We have the answer. We have the truth. But people at times don't want to hear. So in the calamity of life, of work, of our community, of our environment, of being persecuted, I would ask you this, that in these storms, in these places of unrest, in these places of uncertainty, are you ready to hear God in that storm? Are we listening for God's intervention in these storms, or are we choosing sides? Are we listening for God's intervention in the silence, for His whisper, or are we coming up with our own answers? We too must be like the prophet Elijah, ready to hear the booming voice of God in the midst of the storm, or His still, small voice in the silence. Can you hear God in the storms of life? And if so, are you prepared to keep working? Are you prepared to follow Him? Are you prepared? And I put myself in Elijah's place thinking about it. What would I do? Okay, I just ran from a place where they wanted to kill me. I ran from a place where no one was listening. I ran from a place that they hated me. And God wants to send me right back there. And I see the writing on the wall. He wants me to appoint my successor. So, yeah, I'm getting ready to take a chariot right up to heaven, which is what happened with Elijah. But he's a smart guy. And he can see the writing on the wall. They hated me. They wanted to kill me. They didn't listen. And God sent me back to find my replacement. So, wow, this doesn't look really good for me. But are you ready to serve at that level? And that's the question that the Scriptures pose to us today. Are we ready to be like the prophet Elijah? Are we ready to serve unconditionally, without question, and with our whole heart? And are we ready to be persistent? Because the hearts of people have been hardened over time, and at times they don't listen. But God still has a word for every person, and we as a body of Christ have been chosen as those messengers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.